I want to wait until the machines are all turned on. But it's kind of hard after singing that song to wait. Give Him the glory for all the great things He has done. Praise the Lord and praise the Lord. And that's one of the things that we want to do best. You know, in Exodus chapter 15 and in verse 2, the writer says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Our God is an awesome God." You think about that. There is no limit to what God is. And there's no limit to the number of ways in which we can praise God. And we should be searching all the time to try to find a limit. But the good thing is, you'll never find it. There's just an infinite number. Nearly every psalm in the Bible praises God. It has elements of praise for God. With every Bible book, with the exception of Esther, God Himself is spoken of. They speak of God, and they speak of God's great power and His glory. Every prayer that we offer up should be to the praise and glory of our God. And it should end in the name of His amazing Son, the one we just sang about. The songs that we are designed and purposed to sing, they are to praise God and to edify us. Just amazing. You remember Acts chapter 20? You remember what happened there? And Eutychus fell out of the window? And you know why he fell out of the window? Because Paul had many things to say, and he preached till midnight. And when you think about the Scriptures and you think about praising God, we could start a sermon. Almost anybody I know could start a sermon about the great, awesome God, the glory of God. And we could talk about His infinite and holy glory. We could talk about the unsearchable riches. We could talk about His love. The timelessness and the power of God's love. His amazing and powerful and eternal Word we could discuss. We could talk about His amazing, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. And it would never end. We'd all be falling out of windows. In any one of those subjects, you could go on and on and on and on. And we ask the question here, what says the Scriptures? Deuteronomy 10:17, He's the God of gods, the Lord of lords. He's the great God, the mighty and awesome God. In Psalm 47:2, the Lord is the Most High, is awesome. He is a great King forever. You are more awesome than your holy places, the psalmist says in 68:35. He who gives strength and power to His people, blessed be God. Psalm 99:1-2, He is high above all the peoples. Let them praise Your great and awesome name. Psalm 119:9. Holy and awesome is His name. I think of that word awesome, and I apply that to things that I think are just grand and beyond anything imaginable. You look at the night sky, and when you can see the stars and the moon out there, that is awesome. You look at the beautiful sunset that we see this time of year, that is awesome. But something more awesome than that exists in God, because He placed the stars in the heaven and He put the names on every one of them. He put the moon there and the sun there, and that sunset that you see is because of our awesome, awesome God. Oh yeah. What? He's just awesome. That's all there is. What can we say about our awesome God in one sermon? Not nearly enough. Not nearly enough. We can talk about the name of our God, the name Jehovah. He, you know, it means that He exists. The Tetragrammaton, it pronounces that Jehovah, Yahweh, and those names are very special. Those names in mean that God is self-existent, that He is unchanging. He's eternal. He is the I Am that you read about in the Bible. In Exodus chapter 6 and in verse 3, God appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But My name, He says, Jehovah, was not known to them by that name. But that name is special. Most importantly, it is a name that does not appear in history, historically, in any other way. Not by any other God. And it is a speech construction that's unfamiliar to the usual humankind. In other words, that name is amazing. It's special. It's very unique. Just like He is. Jehovah comes from a verb that translate He is, according to Strong's. And they, you know, in Hebrew language, they only have two verb forms. They have the complete, and they have the incomplete. And when we think about God, we think of the complete form. It means finished, accomplished, past and present. The incomplete, it means something that's ongoing, unfinished, present, future, past, present into the future. You know, He exists not in the past or the present or the future, but rather in and through all of time. God just is. He is awesome. In the past, He exists. In the perfect form, the complete form. In the present, He exists. In the complete form. And in the future, He's there. In the present, in the complete form. That's God. And there's none like Him. Jehovah is the most unusual name for God. You know, we don't talk like that. When we think in terms, we don't talk about each other in the past, present, future as though we were still in existence in all of those. We talk about our past, I used to. And we talk about our present, I am. And we talk about our future, I hope. But that's not God. God's not like man. He is in the past, He is in the present, He is in the future, all together, all at once. In Exodus chapter 13 and in verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the Israel, I am has sent me. God is, He exists, timeless. In John 8:58, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Indicating His divinity and His existence in eternity. And God is past, present, future. You know, He doesn't change. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. How awesome is that? I'm not the same person I was a year ago. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. I'm certainly not the same person I was 25 years ago. I change. I change. I used to be able to jump this high. I'm lucky to walk that way now. I've changed. I've gotten older. I wish I was getting wiser, but you see, I'm not like God. God exists outside. He's not bound by time, by space, by matter, by the energy, by the laws of thermodynamics as we understand them, the things that are and the things that govern them. God is before there was space, matter, time, or energy. The Bible tells us God, in Genesis 1 and 1, He created the heavens and the earth. He spoke things into existence. How awesome is that? And God is before time itself. Turn your Bibles to the book of Job in chapter 38. In Job 38, I just love. Were you talking about an awesome God? A God who is able to do anything? He talks about what He did long before there was and what He did to create anything. In Job chapter 38. Somehow I marked Psalm, but there's Job. Listen to what he says. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind, and he said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determines its measurement? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with the doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swallowing band? When I mixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, and when I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. God commanded the morning stars. He caused the dawn to be in its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it." Think about God. And you think about how He created all these things. Then He created man. He formed man from the dust of the ground that He created, and He breathed the breath of life into that man. How awesome is our God? He was before there was time. You know, time does not exist in the absence of the universe, in the absence of space, matter, and energy, which God created. Time is a measurement of duration and intervals between the processes and events which God set in motion. Without those things, we wouldn't have an understanding of time. Our great and our awesome God, He was. Psalm 92, He was before the mountains were brought forth. He was. He is the one who chose in us in Him before the foundations of the world. He was thinking about you and about me. And God sent His Son to us, Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 20, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last days for you, Peter wrote. He sent Jesus to us, to the world, to save us. And God will be in heaven when we come. When we who believe in the awesome God of creation, when we who understand and accept that He's greater than anything that we could possibly know or fathom, the Son of Man will take us up home to the glories of heaven. And He'll reward each person. And God will be there. We will see the face of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, the end comes when God has decided enough is enough. And He's going to send Jesus down out of heaven to raise us up into the clouds, to take us into heaven where we will evermore be. And then the earth and everything in it will be destroyed. And all those who did not believe and accept the awesome God will be destroyed with it. And as we look at this, He will deliver the kingdom, is what I'm saying. And He can be in all places because He's not bound by space and matter. He exists in all time because He's not bound by space or time. He manifests in the flesh and be in heaven because He's not bound by matter and energy. He can be God our Father in heaven and Jesus Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit that guides us through this Word. God is awesome. We've had those phrases, you can't be in two places at one time. Well, He can be in three. He can be in three. Isn't that amazing? That's just amazing. You know, when we think of this, God exists before and after and apart from the universe. He's just not held by that. In Psalm 102, if you look there, verses 24 through 27. Psalm 102, verses 24 through 27. In verse 24, the psalmist says, I said, O my God, do not take me away from the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. God is there. He's been there forever and ever and ever, and even before what we understand is ever. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, the psalmist says, and the heavens are the work of your hands. That is our awesome God. That's who He is. And they will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will grow old like a garment. That's what I'm doing. I'm growing old like a cloak. You'll change them. And they will be changed. But you, this is the awesome God, you are the same. And your years will have no end. God doesn't grow old. He's not going to die. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can be in all places because He's not bound. He can exist in all time because He's not bound. And He can be manifested in the flesh and be in heaven at the same time because He's not bound by the things that He made. God is an awesome God. You know, as you look at this, He's not bound by the laws. I mentioned this earlier, by the laws of thermodynamics. And I'm not a scientist. I am not a scientist, but I can read. The first law of conservation of matter and energy, the total amount of combined matter and energy in the universe does not change. Matter and energy can change into each other and into forms of less usable or of lower energy, but it cannot be annihilated. Think about that for a second. And understand that God doesn't need matter. In energy. He created it. In other words, He existed before it existed. He doesn't need it. He made this for us. He made this so there would be a possibility that we could be overcome by the blood of Christ, that we would think about our awesome God, that we would come to Him in faith and repentance and turn away from the ways of this world, our own lives. And one day see Him face to face. He's not bound by the energy and the matter that He created. He doesn't need it. And secondly, He can simply command it into existence. And this is just amazing. Hebrews chapter 11, 3. That tells us that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You think about that. Okay. Chair. Didn't happen, right? Car. Cadillac. Suzuki motorcycle. It didn't happen. I can think about things all day long. But if God says it, it happens. He said, let there be light, and it happened. He said that. You see, God's not bound by these things of energy and matter. The things which are seen, the things that we see, that we wish we could make, that beautiful rose, that beautiful sunset, the mountains on high, the stars in the heavens, the things that man imagines, God made them all. Every single one. And He made them from nothing. The things that are seen are not made with things which are visible. Try to wrap your mind around that. How awesome is God? You know, if I want to build a chair, I got to go cut down a tree, dry the wood, cut it into pieces, and then put it together and work it and work it and work it. God just says chair. In fact, God said tree. Isn't that amazing? That's who our God is. That's who our God is. He can simply command it, and it is. Second law, the law of entropy. I'm not a scientist. I'm not even sure that's how you say that. I'll bet you Spencer can tell me. He's smart. Local systems tend to disorder. Matter and energy decay into forms less unusable, less recoverable, or lower state. This universe is bound by these laws, but God does not. Or He is not, and He does not. There's something He doesn't do. God doesn't age. He doesn't age. I was on a camping trip one time over on the islands off of Lake Erie here, and there's a man that came up and he was talking to me about how the ice age and all these different things happen, and he was telling me about how the world's just going to get better and better and better. And I said, you see that bridge over there? It's rusting and decaying. Are you as strong as you used to be? Because you're getting older. You see things eroding. You buy a brand new car and 10 years later you got to sell it off because it's all rusted. Sharon was talking about her love of a Geo Prism the other night at the Sing at the House. And Geo Prism, she loved that car. She loved that car. And that car kept running and running and running, but the rust, the pieces were falling off of the car. Things decay, but God does not decay. He doesn't age. He does not decrease in power like they claim all things do. Because God, He's just an amazing and powerful God. I want you to read with me in your hymnal, song number 655. 655. Listen to these words. Guide me, O great Jehovah. Very appropriate. Pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing waters flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be Thou still my strength and shield. Strong deliverer, be Thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current. Lead me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises I will ever give to Thee. Songs of praises I will ever give to Thee. Guide me, O great Jehovah. What a appropriate thought and song for such an amazing, amazing God. You know, what we think about this, how God just, He's beyond comprehension, isn't He? What does the name of God mean for our future? Implications of the incarnation of Jesus and His name. in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. That's who Jesus is. He's upholding all things by the word of His power. He has by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's God in the flesh. And we talked about that earlier. He can be in three places at one time. God can actually be in any place, every place, all at one time. Remember that you can hide in the clefts of the mountains. He'll find you there. You can be in your closet praying in secret, and He who hears in secret will answer you openly. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And when I pray here, when we pray here, and another congregation over in China prays, God hears us all. Because He's everywhere. Omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. That's who God is. Nothing like Him anywhere in the world, in the universe. And when we think about this, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That's Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. That's amazing. Our God. He also created all things through Jesus. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Amazing. That God came down from heaven to walk among the things that He created and to love them and to give Himself for them. That's pretty amazing. His sacrifice made on the cross, it isn't the end of His work. It's not at all the end of His work. When we think about that sacrifice, He returned to heaven as the glorified Son of God. He had to leave heaven first to come down, but now He's sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Scripture says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And now serves in heaven as our high priest. The old priesthood is gone. All things are made new. Jesus became man. God, the one who created all things by the word, became man. And His name was exalted. Who being in the form of God, Paul said in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 9. Being in the form of God. He says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. But He made Himself of no reputation. And He came in the likeness of man. And He humbled Himself. That's who God is. That's what God did. He humbled Himself. And became obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. And therefore God also highly exalted Him, and He gave Him a name which is above every name. Jesus. You know, Jehovah was a special name, not used by any other religion, by any other faction, by any other group. He's special, unique, and Jesus' name is special, unique. We cannot be saved without that name. That's who He is. The good news is His name, in His name, all Christians can and should rejoice. because His name is the name that saves through His blood. But His name implies that we have a place waiting for us. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 1 and following, He says, "You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And He said that if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, so that where I am, you may be also. That is what our awesome God has done for us. Boy, you can just go on and on and on and on. We're joint heirs with Christ. We share in His glory. We will enjoy the grand nature of God one day in eternity, unbound by time and space and matter and energy and all these things that the world's so wrapped up in. And one day we will enjoy its fullness and share in the divine nature of God because we believe, because we've obeyed, because He is a great and awesome God. And it'll be in heaven that the faithful will share the nature of God. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." And how? In that we should be called the children of God. "Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him." That awesome God. How could you not know God? Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that you can look at all the things that are made and see His power, His majesty, and His Godhead. How can you not know that there is a God? How many times do we have to say, just look at the world around you. Look at how things are made, how things function. Look at the physical body and the science behind it. It's not an accident. Our awesome and great God made that, and people just don't know, won't accept. And he goes on to say, "Beloved, we are children of God. And has not been yet revealed what manner, what has been revealed, what we shall be. But one thing that we do know, that we will be like Him," like Jesus. "We shall see Him as He is." And listen, everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. What an awesome God that we serve. And this awesome God, He loves you and He wants you to be in heaven with Him in eternity. He does. And there's no missing the mark there. And He's told us how to accomplish that. And in the words of Jesus, John chapter 6, verse 45 and following, Jesus said that they shall all be taught by God. "Therefore, everyone who has heard comes to Me." That's what Jesus said. Have you heard about the awesome God? Well, you have tonight. The thing is, do you believe? John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said, "Unless you believe, you'll perish in your sins." We must believe what He said. We have to think about the things around us and how awesome it is that they just exist. And we have to decide whether we're going to accept the lie that it's all an accident, that it happened by happenstance, that from nothing became everything by itself. When everything that science is so contradictory because they say energy has to exist, it's always existed in all kinds of different forms, and yet things weren't there. What they call the Big Bang Theory. There was nothing there, but God made it. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus tells us in His own words that if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father. Those are things that He has taught. Luke 13:3, we must repent. In Mark 16:16, we must be baptized. awesome God is speaking to you tonight. If you've not obeyed the gospel, He wants you to come forward. He wants you to sit in this pew, and He wants you to have a relationship with Him that is awesome in itself. Do you have need tonight? If you do, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.